Good morning. Please have a seat. It is good to be together again in this place as the people of God at worship. And so in the name of the Spirit who brings us light and life, welcome. As we gather. If you're visiting with us, a very warm welcome to you. We're so pleased to have you with us this morning. I'm Reverend Michael Mugford, and I'm in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside, and happy to be so. Happy to have you with us here this morning. Do let us know if you're visiting that by signing our guest book just outside the entryway of the sanctuary. Join us for a time of coffee and fellowship following the service, to which everyone is welcome. And if during the offering time of the service you would like to leave an offering, and it's certainly not required, but if you would like to, there are guest envelopes in the pews. And we invite you to use those and fill them out, and we'd love to send you a thank you letter for having worshipped with us. And if you think Cole Harbor Woodside might be a place where you would like to worship and live out your faith as part of the community, do let us know. We'd love to have some conversation with you about that. It is a little bit chilly out there this morning, but I feel the warmth of the Spirit in here this morning, so that is good. So as we gather, I invite us to share together in the words of the acknowledgement of place. It's on the screen. And we have been doing this for about a year and a half, almost 2 years now. We do this as part of our church's recognition of the work of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of our nation. One of the recommendations is that as people, whenever we gather, we recognize the lands in which we gather. The lands in which we gather regularly are the lands of the Mi'kmaq. Mi'kma'ki is the territory. And it's important for us to remember that the relationship that was originally struck with our First Nations brothers and sisters was not a treaty that traded away land and land rights, but rather a treaty of peace and friendship. And so that's what we refer to in our acknowledgement of place this morning. So we gather in this place with gratitude, acknowledging that we live and worship on lands that are, by law, the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. Out of gas. Anybody got a lighter? Matches? Nobody smokes anymore. Good for you. Good for you. I'll try the old shake, shake, shake trick, see if that works. There we go. As we gather, we remember that we are Christ's light in the world. It is Christ's light that we bear. It is Christ's light that we share. It is Christ's light in our lives. We light a candle of peace that we might remember Jesus' call for us to be peacemakers, that we might bless the world through our peacemaking. We light a candle in honor of those and remembrance of those who serve in our armed forces. In many places around the world, we think particularly of those who have been recently deployed to various places, a member of our own congregation, and we hold him and family and all who serve in our prayers each day. We remember those who are firefighters and EMTs, peace officers, those who are there for us when we are in our deepest, darkest moments of need. We think about those who staff our hospitals and nursing homes, doctors, nurses, support workers, lab techs, all who make sure that we can get the best care that we can possibly get. We think of those who staff our nursing homes and care facilities, who look after us when we cannot look after ourselves. We thank God for them and for their ministry, and we honor them with this light. Amen. Let us sing together.
Thank you.
I don't know who signed up for call to worship this morning. Anybody? Oh, Madison, there we go. Forgot to check the list.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks for the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
Steps. Oops. Let us pray together. God, who is parent of us all, may we honor your name, not by paying it lip service to the teachings of Jesus, but by trusting the vision they speak of and the way they call us to live with you, with each other in the world. May we honor Jesus as Christ by following you, speaking into the word with our actions, showing who we've chosen to follow. May we love in your name, speak in your name, care and comfort in your name, in such a way that it shows our willingness to touch the outcast, feed the hungry, tend to the sick, visit the imprisoned, clothe the naked, and give water to the thirsty. May all that we do and are in your name bring renewal and life to the world. May it be so. Amen. We sing together in More Voices number 28, God of the Bible. seated. And Lee is going to share our scripture readings this morning.
The reading this morning is from Matthew 6, verses 7 to 23. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Treasures in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
Thank you, Lee. I invite the children who are here this morning to come forward, spend a few moments together. How are we this morning? Good. Whoa. You all right? Oh. It was right on the corner there. That hurts. So, everyone, all right? Lots of room. Good morning. Cold out there this morning? Do you like the cold? Yeah? No? How about you guys? Do you like the cold? No? Who likes the cold? Yeah? You like the cold? Who likes like really hot, sunny, warm weather? Yeah, me too. Even when I was your age, I really didn't like the cold. I didn't like to go out in the winter. I didn't really enjoy tobogganing or skating or... But get me out in the summertime, my mom could never get me to come home. Out all day long, way into the evening, enjoying the day. This morning, one of the things that's in our scripture reading this morning is Jesus talks about prayer. Now, how many of you know the words to what we call the Lord's Prayer? How many people know that? Do you guys know that? Do you say it in Sunday upstairs in Sunday school? Our Father, who art in heaven. Do you know that one? No? They will after today. There we go. You'll have it memorized by the end of the day. Well, Jesus' followers were wondering what kind of things they should do when they pray. And I thought, well, that's a good question. What should we do when we pray? We have a little prayer time at the end of our time together here. And in the service, we have the prayers of the people and we say the Lord's Prayer together. But what kinds of things should we do when we pray? Oh, very good. So we should like say thank you to God for all the things that we get. Yeah, that's great. That's an excellent part of prayer. Thanksgiving. What other things should we do when we pray? Can we say a prayer for other people? Maybe if we have a friend who's sad or not feeling well, we can say in our prayers, asking God to be with them, and asking God for help when they're not feeling very well. We can do that. How about when we're scared? If we're scared about something, can we pray about that? Yeah?
Yeah.
No? Don't think we can pray about things when we're scared? Yes? I think we can pray about things when we're scared. Yeah. It'll make you have nightmares. Well, maybe your prayers can be for God to help you not have nightmares. That's a good prayer. Very good. That's right. That's very real for us, isn't it? Yeah. So we can say all kinds of things. We can say thank you. We can ask for help. We can ask for guidance, and we can ask for support. And we can pray for our friends and for our family and for our churches, right? How many of you, it used to be, you know, quite, how many of you say prayers on a regular basis? Some people pray every day? Some people pray every day. Yeah? Some people do their prayers at night. Does anyone do prayers at night? Yeah? Yeah? Right? How about first thing in the morning? I do my prayers first thing in the morning. Anybody else do prayers first thing in the morning? Try and get into the office first thing and spend a little time in prayer. So, some people pray before they get out of bed. Do they at school? Yeah. Do you pray before a meal? Right. Do you say a grace before a meal? Thank you for the food. If you go to Kidston Camp this summer, plug, you'll say prayers before supper and breakfast and lunch. So there's lots of reasons to pray. So prayer is the way in which we as people can talk to God. A prayer is just our talking to God. And Jesus was trying to help his followers say, look, if you want to pray, here's the kinds of things you can say. But really, I think Jesus was trying to tell his followers, whatever you talk to God about, that's what God needs to hear. So we can be talking to God in whatever way we feel we need to. So I really encourage us to think about taking time each and every day to spend a little time in prayer, even if it's just like in our rooms by ourselves saying, gosh, God, I had a really good day at school today, or this wasn't very good and that was very good. And it doesn't have to be a dear God and so. It can just be a thank you, okay? And I think up in Sunday school this morning, you're going to talk a little bit more about prayer. So speaking of prayer, let's have a prayer together. And if you want, you can bow your head and you can close your eyes and put your hands together if that makes you feel like you can concentrate on God that much more. And I'll say some and you can repeat after me. God, I am thankful for my church family. I am thankful for my family at home. I am thankful for my school and my work. And I am thankful for friends and loved ones. Help me to remember them all in prayer. Every day. Amen. Thank you all very much. And we are going to sing. One of the things that prayer sometimes helps us to do, and I have actually seen people dance their prayers, is Dance with the Spirit. This is one of my favorite songs from More Voices. So we're going to stand up and we're going to sing together Dance with the Spirit early in the morning. Thank you, Charles and Greg and our choir. Beautiful. Join me for a moment of prayer. God, in whom we live and move and have our being, may your Spirit be found in our words and our actions this day and every day. Amen. Theologian and former Roman Catholic priest John Dominic Crossan wrote a book on the Lord's Prayer, and he calls it the greatest prayer. But he also says in terms of Christianity, it's also a bit of a strange prayer in that we call it the Lord's Prayer, but it never mentions the word Lord. But every Christian on the face of the planet probably can say it in their sleep from time when we are very young and we learn it. It doesn't matter what denomination we seem to come from or what background or language group or whatever that we come from, we all seem to find a sense of commonality in the words of that prayer that come from Matthew's gospel and then a little bit of a different version of it in Luke's gospel and then sections that are added on to it after it was drawn from the scripture and became part of our services. In the book, Crossan offers some very fascinating insights into this prayer. And I think it's a great read if you ever get a chance to pick it up, The Greatest Prayer, John Crossan. It just opens it up in so many new and wonderful ways. So the verses from Matthew's gospel this morning are sort of the focus of the lectionary reading today, but the verses that follow are also important for us because they give us a perspective on the nature of God to whom Jesus is asking his followers to offer this prayer. The book by Crossan challenges us to think about God, to think about the nature of God, not only in prayer, but throughout the entire ministry that Jesus shares as it's recorded in the gospel accounts. And one of the things I notice as we put that prayer in the context of Jesus' ministry is that Jesus' prayer and his ministry talk not about power and authority and rule in the earth, but rather they talk about love. They demonstrate love. They act out of a place of love in the world. The gospel that Jesus offers through his teaching and through the prayer is love. The love of God that we have and the love of God for us. The power of Jesus' words are not in that they are a prayer to God, our Father in heaven. But rather, Jesus tells his followers to pray simply and honestly, openly, not with long words and flowery phrases as some of us preachers like to do on occasion, but rather our prayers should be simple. They should be not just words, but actions. Actions that are born out of love. Actions that are born out of prayer. Prayer is indeed for us as people of faith a powerful part of who we are. The 19th century Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard once commented that prayer does not change God, but it changes him who prays. It changes those who pray. So in other words, Jesus, I believe, is telling us not to be too concerned about getting what we want or what we think we need from God, but rather, paired with Kierkegaard, we might think about how we are changed by the prayer we offer. In more modern times, Rex Hunt, preacher and theologian, says, prayer doesn't change things, prayer changes people, and people change things. Interesting perspectives. Crossan spends the entire book exploring what Jesus might be trying to get at with this prayer. And for me, it is looking at the phrase that we usually think of as that moment where we offer prayer for things that we think we need to survive. That little phrase, "Give us today our daily bread." We had a great talk about it on Tuesday morning at Bible study. That little phrase, I believe, really ties in with what Jesus is trying to say to his followers. For generations, we have prayed this prayer and we have said, "Give us this day our daily bread. Give us today the things that we need," whatever language. We've prayed that prayer in Greek at first, and then in Latin, and then in a multitude of languages, including English. And unlike the translation issues that come to us through the Hebrew scriptures, the original Greek of the New Testament, the Christian scriptures, is relatively fresh. It hasn't gone through many changes. But it still offers us some interesting challenges because, as any language scholar will tell you, sometimes things get lost in translation. And this little phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread," is one of those instances. The Greek phrase that goes into that, the Greek word that goes into that little phrase, only occurs here in the Bible and in Luke's gospel, because Luke is copying Matthew. That's it. It makes it really hard when you're translating a word to try and figure out the context of that word, what that word means, if you don't know how it's used in other places. The single Greek word, epiousios, only occurs in this prayer from Jesus in the whole of the Christian scriptures. And while it's translated "our daily bread," Greek scholars will tell us that it's a little bit more nuanced than that. It's a little bit bigger than just that. Now, like all biblical scholarship, there's disagreement about the entirety of the phrase. But the best translation biblical scholars offer is actually not "give us today our daily bread." It's actually "give us tomorrow's bread today." Give us tomorrow's bread today. Let that sink in for a second. Jesus is inviting us to ask for what we need tomorrow to be given to us today. Tomorrow's bread today. Tomorrow's fruit and vegetables, can we have those today? Tomorrow's fish, can we have that today? Tomorrow's breath, can we have that today? Tomorrow's love, can we have that today? We've been told that you can't borrow from tomorrow. But the gospel tells us we can, and we can ask God for it. And that, my friends, is why I have said on numerous occasions that I do not believe God offers us a gospel of scarcity, but rather a gospel of abundance. And that is the revolutionary nature of this prayer from Jesus. It's not some simple, wonderful little prayer. It's more nuanced than that. It is a prayer that Jesus offers that is revolutionary to his time. And that's why this prayer from Jesus is the greatest prayer. It's not meant to be a static prayer mumbled during service in King James English. It's not meant to be mere words that we offer with such rote that they roll out of our mouths with no thought or purpose. They are words of power. They are words of power that do not ascend to God in order to get God to act, but rather they go out from us that we might change, that we might be the ones through whom God's act of love, God's act of service, God's act of truth-telling, God's act of community, God's act of trust, God's act of love is put into action in the world. We are to act in these ways and so many more because we do not need to worry about whether or not we will have today's bread for merely today. Jesus tells us that we can be so bold that we can ask for tomorrow's bread today. And when we get to tomorrow, God will still have enough to give us of what we need for tomorrow, because tomorrow's bread is tomorrow. And we can have tomorrow's bread today. That's the gospel of abundance that we're called to believe in, to live in, and to share the hope of that gospel out there in the world. The world is afraid. There is much fear in our world. We only have to turn the news on to know this is true. Why do we want to limit refugees in our community, into our nation? Because there might not be enough. Why do we want to limit the amount of social assistance we give to people in our province to survive? Because there might not be enough. Why do we not want to return land and acknowledge the inherent rights of indigenous peoples in our nation? Because there might not be enough. The gospel of abundance throws down the attitude of scarcity and calls upon us as we pray the prayer from Jesus to be the light and the hope of the world. There is not enough in the world. There's not enough in the world. There is more than enough in the world. Because that is the God whom we worship. That is the God who we follow. That is the Jesus who preached that prayer. That is his message. There is more than enough in the world that God is willing to wantonly and wastefully give us tomorrow's bread today. And we have got to start believing that truth. We have got to start sharing that truth. We have got to start living that truth. And we have got to take that truth out into the world. Because people are afraid. And fear makes us do things that we might not normally do. It makes us turn away the stranger and the refugee. It makes us turn away those who are from the LGBTQ community. It makes us turn away those who are in need. It makes us turn away from one another because we are afraid. Do not be afraid. Ask God for tomorrow's bread today. John Crossan suggests that the prayer from Jesus is not a Jewish prayer, because it's not found anywhere else in Judaism. It's not a Christian prayer, because it's not found anywhere else but in Matthew and Luke. Crossan suggests that this prayer is a prayer from the heart of Judaism, the Judaism of Jesus. It is placed on the lips of Christianity for us all to be hope in the world. And that's more than enough. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, Charles. Are there announcements that need to be shared this morning? Anne?
Come rather quickly, but this Saturday we'll be hosting our Guess Who's Coming to Dinner event this Saturday evening. We still have spots available. We would love to fill the dinner tables of our hosts, so if you're interested and would like to come and share a wonderful three-course dinner with friends while supporting our church community, I'll be selling tickets for $30 outside the church. Today will be the last day as I need to arrange where everyone will be going, so please come see me after church. Thanks.
Morning. I'm Anne Woods. I'm with the Refugee Sponsorship Group. Good news. Our family had an interview with Canadian Embassy in Beirut in Lebanon last Tuesday, and they passed. Yay. moving on, we'll be going for medical interviews next. Security clearance is going on in the background, so it's with an outside agency. I had the opportunity to talk to the family 2 weeks ago. I'm FaceTiming, right? So Ziad's sitting on the floor, and Mahmoud, his little boy, is on his lap. And Mahmoud is maybe 18 months old. And I have an interpreter with me because I don't speak Arabic and he doesn't speak English. But that's okay. So anyway, I'm chatting to them, and the little boy, he's on the lap, and his big sister comes over and does this to Mahmoud's hair. And if you know a little boy doesn't like that. So little boy went, and he shook his head. And I thought, you know, you have a different language, you have a different culture, you have a different religion, but, you know, little boys are little boys the world over. Anyway, Coal Harbour Cares is going to be meeting in a week's time. We're going to be discussing the furniture that some people are holding for us. More good news. We don't need any more money. Thank you so much for all your generosity, and we'll be in touch later. Thank you.
Hi, some of you may not know me. I'm Linda, and I'm the interim chair of Ministry and Personnel Committee, and Susan's here with me as chair of Worship Committee. We're here tonight, or this morning, it's not nighttime anymore. We're here this morning to brag a little bit. We're going to brag about a couple of our employees and a volunteer group in the congregation. I'm talking about our music director, Charles, our accompanist, Greg, and this wonderful choir that we have here. Thursday night, my husband happens to be in the choir. And
he paid you to do this.
He came home Thursday night exhausted, as he usually is, because Charles and Greg give them a really good workout on Thursday nights. And he sits down in his chair, and he takes this out of his pocket and hands it to me, and he says, "Take a look at this." And so I read it, and my jaw dropped. And so I thought we're going to share a little bit of this with you this morning, because it's important that you know. So Susan is going to read you the first paragraph of this letter.
Okay, this letter came from the Distinguished Concerts International New York, and it was sent to Charles on January 29th. Dear Charles, in recognition of your dedication to musical excellence and due to the high quality of your audition recording, it is with great pleasure that I extend an invitation to you and the Coal Harbour Woodside United Church Choir to participate in the world premiere performance of Joseph Martin's Christmas Evergreens, that's the working title, on the DCINY concert series in New York City. This performance is planned to take place on Sunday, November 17th, 2019 at Carnegie Hall's Isaac Stern Auditorium and the baton of Joseph Martin. Congratulations to you and your singers on this wonderful achievement and recognition. And this is from Jonathan Griffin. He He's the artistic director and principal conductor. So,
an honor indeed. I'm told that this is a result of the YouTube video that aired about the Christmas concert. And so if you haven't gone on YouTube to see the Christmas concert, and if you weren't here in person, you really need to do that, because it was amazing. This was only a very small portion of this letter. There's an awful lot to consider about going to this. So whether Charles and or Greg and or any members of the choir decide to go, that's up in the air. But whether they go or not, they've been honored. And I think we know they're amazing, and it's nice to know that other people know.
Amen.
Thank you.
There are just so many amazing ministries here at Cole Harbor Woodside. I also want to draw attention to another ministry here, and that's our shawl ministry. How many people here this morning know about the shawl ministry? Good number. So we have many people who are knitting and crocheting shawls to bring to the church. You see them dedicated on occasion here. We give them out to parents as little ones are baptized. But we also take them to hospitals and nursing homes. And frankly, lately, people off the street who come in and say, I have heard about your shawl ministry, and I have a friend who's really not well, and I think they would love one of the shawls. And we give them a shawl. We don't know who they are, but it doesn't matter. So we have a group of people who are creating these shawls, and they're doing it out of love and care and support, offering the care and comfort of Christ. And so what we're encouraging you to do is, if you can do that — I can't, but if you can — our shawl supply is really, really low right now, because we continue to give them away. But, you know, as that old song says, love is something, if you give it away, you end up having more. And so this morning, on behalf of Betty David and, I just lost your name, just a sec, Sandy Conrad, thank you. I heard a little voice in the background, thank you, Sandy Conrad. if that's something you can do, if you can knit, see them after service. If it's not something you can do, but you could donate yarn for the prayer shawls, prayerfully and carefully, that are created and given away, that would be wonderful. So please see Sandy and Betty after service. Is that something you can do? And we've kind of tossed around the idea of maybe — I saw it on Facebook, not on Facebook very often, but one of the churches that I saw on Facebook, they've got a basket at the back of the church with some yarn and some knitting needles in it. And they invite people to pick up the yarn and the knitting needles and to knit during the service, or crochet during the service. And the minister I was talking to said that that's what their accompanist does while she's preaching. And members of the choir. And anyway, so we're kind of toying around with that. But at the very least, if you're out and around and you see some lovely yarn that you think would look beautiful in a prayer shawl, pick it up and bring it in and drop it in a donation to the prayer shawl ministry. Right now, all those who are creating the shawls are paying for the yarn themselves. And so it's not only a wonderful ministry gift that they're giving of them, their time and their talent, but also as well. So the support for that ministry would be awesome. And the pastoral care team, really loves and enjoys being able to share that care and comfort of Christ with those we encounter. That being our announcements this morning, we have a moment for mission from Cindy and Susanna.
Alternative farming brings hope. Our gifts for mission and service offer hope for those taking chances on alternative forms of farming in areas of severe drought. One example is the work of the National Council of Churches of Kenya with the National Drought Management Authority. The council advises the agency of the needs in drought-stricken areas in places like Meru and Tharaka Nithi. The National Council of Churches of Kenya has a number of farms that have had success with conservation farming, which uses mulch to help keep the ground moist. The success of these farms gives farmers hope that they can feed their families and communities regardless of the weather.
Many of the farmers are women who have been empowered to take over running the farm from their husbands. We are thankful that Mission and Service, in partnership with the National Council of Churches of Kenya, offers hope with severe drought and empowering of women. If Mission and Service giving is already a part of your life, thank you so much. If you've not given, please join us in making Mission and Service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thank you, Susanna and Cindy. In that spirit, then, our offerings are now received. Let us pray. O God, the work of our hands and the love of our hearts we offer to you each and every day. On this day, this time in our worship, we bring forward our offering, some of it in our offering plates and envelopes, and some in par. Some give with their time and others give with their talents. All gifts are gratefully received, blessed by you, and used in this place and around your world. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. This morning, something I found last night when I was working on the service. So I'm not going to have us pray the Lord's Prayer together this morning. I'm just going to offer one line at a time and give a few moments of silence for you to consider, to pray, to connect with God in the words of that individual line. And that will be our prayer this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Closing hymn this morning, Are You a Shepherd? So where will we go with God? We will go out into the world. We will bear light and life. We will bear love and joy. We will speak of justice and truth. We will welcome all people as children of God. For that is the gospel Christ calls us to live, to work, and to believe. In faith, let us go.